All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melon heads of the world. Happy Friday, everybody. Today's May 8th, 2026. And the not war in the Middle East has escalated. It's gotten to the point where the Iranians have seized their own ship. Things are really getting heated there. Just to clarify, it was actually a Chinese ship that was carrying Iranian oil that was seized by the Iranian Navy for some reason. Maybe the Chinese didn't want to pay the $2 million toll. I don't know, but the Chinese are lending a helping hand to the United States, blockading the flow of Iranian oil out of the Gulf. So, hey, thanks. Thank you, I guess. I'm not really sure that's a bold strategy there, Cotton. We'll see if it pays off for him. But I joke about this, but this follows some of the most intense fighting that we've seen at sea that took place yesterday in the Strait of Hormuz. We had several Navy destroyers transited the Strait yesterday. I guess the Navy is doing a thunder run now. You guys remember during the early days of the last Iraq war, thunder run was where armored U.S. columns would just roll through towns held by insurgents for the sole purpose of getting shot at so that they could shoot back and kill them, like to just draw them out. It looks like that's what the Navy is doing here as they reinstall Project Freedom. They cut a deal yesterday with the Saudis and the UAE. They're okay now. We can use their airspace for Project Freedom. And yesterday, there's this post in one of the OSIN channels on Twitter describing some of the fighting. It was pretty hairy there for quite a while. No ships were hit. At least the Navy is saying no ships were hit. But they got pretty close, it sounds like. Also, the UAE is being targeted again. More missiles and drones attacking targets in the UAE. UAE air defenses are active again. But just a friendly reminder that it's not a war and the ceasefire is still holding. Are we all clear on that? Any questions? Some of you guys in the back there? I realize this is very complicated stuff. How, you know, like we could be killing each other and shooting all the time, but there's still the ceasefire. It's really all very complex. The ceasefire has no close. Okay. Now, even as this is going on, the U.S. has just approved a $17 billion missile sale to Kuwait, the UAE, and Bahrain for Patriot missiles. 4,250 Patriot missiles, mind you. All right, just a little bit of context. The United States has consumed about 1,300 Patriots since the war in Iran began, and our annual missile production is about 600 Patriots a year, or at least that's what it was last year. There are plans in place to dramatically scale up that missile production. Of course, there's all these talks are going on between defense contractors and the Pentagon and even U.S. car makers about expanding that production capacity, but it's a chicken or the egg thing. Before you can expand production capacity, those outfits need to know that the demand and the orders are going to be there. Well, the orders aren't going to be there unless they expand the production capacity. Well, poof, all of a sudden we're selling 4,250 Patriots to the UAE, Kuwait, and Bahrain, noticeably absent Saudi Arabia. And, well, there's the demand. So we're probably going to see that production scale up pretty quickly here because we've got to replace our own inventory that we just burned through, plus satisfy this deal, plus several other deals that are already in place with the Ukrainians, a pre-existing deal with the UAE. So we'll be making more things that go boom. Probably a good morning for Raytheon. We've got some AI bubble updates as well. CoreWeave posted their quarterly losings report yesterday. And the company lost $740 million on $981 million in revenue. Just take a minute to appreciate that. The company takes in $981 million, but their losses, all that $981 million plus another $740 million. All right, I've been saying this since day one. These guys lose money. It's not even close. It's getting worse. It's not getting better. All the CoreWeave bros are like, oh my God, the revenue doubled year over year. And I'm over here like, yup, and so did your losses. Your business model is not improving. Your GPUs are just aging away. Your debt is getting bigger. You don't take in enough money to service that debt. This company is a ticking time bomb. What else we got here? $8.5 billion in new debt in the last quarter. The company is now $25 billion in the hole and growing. There is no hope for this company, and yet the stock just marches on. Maybe that has something to do with the fact that NVIDIA bought another $2 billion worth of CoreWeave stock in the last quarter. So is anybody even keeping track of the money here, how many times it goes around in a circle? NVIDIA gives CoreWeave money. CoreWeave buys NVIDIA's chips. The money goes back to NVIDIA. But then NVIDIA rents the chips back from CoreWeave. So the money's going back to CoreWeave. Round and round we go. I don't even know where the dollar began, where it ends here. But this circular financing, it will be the punchline of a joke for decades to come. All these arrogant a-holes on X who are bragging about my revenue doubled. Yeah, but the whole point is to make money. Remember that. At some point, you're going to make money. You have to make money or you die. Also going on this morning, Iron, another Neo Cloud. They posted a revenue that disappointed expectations or didn't meet expectations, widening losses, beginning to see a consistent theme here. But that stock is ripping. Why? Because NVIDIA bought warrants to purchase up to $2.1 billion of Iron stock. Another circular financing deal for a company that incinerates cash. I'm beginning to see a pattern here. It's crazy. If only somebody had been warning about this since freaking 2023. And we have an update on the chip smuggling situation at Supermicro. That other story that I've been warning about for years that everybody said I was crazy and full of it and there was no proof until, whoops, yep, turned out that was actually happening, even though we could all see it was happening. Those who were willing to see it in front of their face anyway. Supermicro chips went to Alibaba via this Thai company called OBON. We're just going to call them OBON. I don't even know how to pronounce the name of this company. I've never heard of them before. But this Thai company, OBON, was buying these chips from Supermicro and then nonchalantly sending them off to China, where they ultimately ended up with Alibaba. And I'm sure none of the executive team outside of those three guys who've been indicted, nobody at Supermicro knew. And Jensen Huang definitely had no idea, even though he sat down at a fireside chat with the CEO of OBON not too long ago. But that's all very simple stuff, I'm sure. And again, we're just shocked and chagrined to learn that these billions of dollars of chips that we could all see flowing into China were, in fact, flowing into China. Meanwhile, SoftBank, this is interesting, possibly a sign of things to come. They've cut the target for their margin loan that they were going to take out to buy a bigger stake of OpenAI. They were originally targeting $10 billion. They were going to borrow $10 billion and buy another $10 billion worth of OpenAI. But now they've cut that target to $6 billion. Performance problems there, Masa-san? You know, one in five men at some point in their but it looks like they're having trouble raising the cash. Just maybe investors are suddenly a little more wary of sending money off to buy stakes in OpenAI because of the recent headlines about how they're missing their performance target. Sam Altman's a habitual liar. All the other things that are going bad there, weaknesses in internal controls that Sarah Friar talked about before she denied ever having said it, asking the government to backstop their debt, circular financing deals, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria. Anyway, SoftBank can't raise enough money to buy their $10 billion chunk of OpenAI. On the auto front today, we've had Toyota's profit drop by 49% year over year. Tariffs appear to be the culprit. We've got the EU is now allowing their airlines to start using U.S. grades of jet fuel that they previously did not allow as the jet fuel crisis in Europe gets worse. An interesting story. Pay attention, college students. Canvas, the learning management system, or the basically digital classroom technology, Canvas has been hacked. And it's being held for ransom. 9,000 schools and colleges have been shut out of the platform. Well, at least it's not freaking finals week. Oops. So that might be causing a headache for some of the collegiate among you. And of course, we got non-farm payrolls came out this morning. The jobs report. It was kind of a meh report. It was 115,000 jobs were added, predictable categories. That's more than expectations of 62,000 jobs to be added, but well below the 185,000 that were added last month. Unemployment steady at 4.3%. U6 unemployment increased to 8.2% from 8.0. U6 is a better measure of unemployment because it counts people working part-time for economic reasons, those who have given up finding work, that kind of stuff. And also participation rate dropped to 61.8% from 61.9%. That's the lowest since October of 2021. More people giving up looking for work. Guys, we got a lot going on this morning. Why don't we shrink my big melon of a head and let's see what's going on in the world of finance. Hey, don't forget that like button and that subscribe button for the algorithm so you can come back tomorrow and have your coffee. I'm sorry, come back Monday and have your coffee with the Melonheads, because we do this one every business day. Right now, the S&P 500 is higher by 39 points, or about a half a percent. This was the jobs report at 8:30 a.m. Eastern time. Market had a little bit of a pop, and then they're like, nah, we just realized it's not that good. Came right back down where they were. The Dow is higher by 172 points, or 0.35%. Same thing. The little bit of a bump on the jobs report came right back down, didn't hold. The NASDAQ is higher by 244 points, 0.86% higher. Similar, although the NASDAQ appears to be holding on to some of those gains from the jobs report. Looking over at the DXY, we're a little bit weaker here, 35 basis points lower at 97.93. The dollar weakened on the jobs report a little bit. Again, oil a little lower this morning. For some reason, oil is lower, even though the fighting yesterday was some of the most ferocious fighting we've seen since the official ceasefire began, which is somehow still in place. But the dollar is lower this morning. Bond yields are also lower across the board. The 30-year yield, 4.960. That's off by almost one basis point. The 10-year yield is at 4.369, lower by about 2.5 points. The 2-year yield is at 3.891%, off by almost 3 points. And the 1-month, 3.666, lower by about a half a point. Not a lot happening in the bond market this morning. Bitcoin is pretty much unchanged from yesterday, hovering around 80,000 here as priced on Coinbase. Not a lot of movement there. Looking over at the commodities board, we've got metals are higher for the most part. Spot gold is up by about $39 here, $4,726 for spot gold. That's higher by about 0.83% this morning. Spot silver at $81.30, holding above the $80 mark. That's higher by another $2.87 this morning, 3.6% higher. I like the shiny. Copper is up by 2%. Platinum is unchanged this morning. Palladium is lower by about 1.4%. And crude oil was a couple of dollars cheaper a few minutes ago. Now we're pretty much unchanged here, up about a quarter, or $95.12. Let's take a look at that oil chart. Okay, again, we're kind of surfing the 50-day moving average here. You notice we have dipped below it a couple of times every time President Trump posts on Truth Social and somebody else got wind of it an hour ahead of time and positions themselves short accordingly. We get these big drops, then they cover their shorts. The story breaks that the Iranians are like, no, we haven't agreed to anything. Then oil goes right back up. And we're still like right around that 50-day moving average here, $95 a barrel. So let's talk about what happened yesterday and this morning. Iran reportedly seized tanker after a clash with the U.S. near Hormuz. The U.S. and Iran clashed near the Strait of Hormuz, an escalation that threatens to further fracture a fragile ceasefire as the two sides discuss a permanent end to the war. And again, why are we even talking about this fragile ceasefire? Everybody's freaking shooting. Am I the only one here? No, I'm not the only one. We can all see that there is no ceasefire. Why are we still pretending it? Oh, that's right. We got to pump those stocks no matter what. Pump them stocks, baby. Can't let a little thing like war and the worst energy shortage since the 1970s get in the way of that stonk pump. The Iranian army seized an oil tanker for attempting to disrupt oil exports and the interests of the Iranian nation, the semi-official Tasnim news agency reported Friday, without elaborating. We shall elaborate in just a moment on that one. U.S. forces earlier targeted missile and drone launch sites and other military assets of the Islamic Republic that they said were responsible for attacking 3 U.S. warships transiting the strait. No vessels were hit, U.S. CENTCOM said. A month-long ceasefire remains in effect. Well, that's good. I'd hate for that ceasefire to not remain in effect. That's according to President Trump. The United Arab Emirates, which has borne the brunt of Iran's retaliatory strikes on U.S. allies in the region, said Friday morning that its air defenses were intercepting missiles and drones targeting the country. Yeah, I'd hate to have that fragile ceasefire dropped. But let's elaborate a little bit. We've got OSINT Defender on X with this one this morning. This is talking about the fighting that happened yesterday. According to a report from CBS citing U.S. officials, USS Truxtun and USS Mason, along with a third destroyer that has since been named, came under intense attack from Iranian fast attack boats, drones, and missiles in an engagement that has been characterized as far fiercer than the past engagement the two vessels were involved in. 5-inch deck guns, small arms equipped personnel on board the vessels, aircraft, and SeaWiz, that's close-in weapons system, were employed to repel Iranian attacks, per reports. Despite claims from Iran that they were struck, neither was hit during the engagement. All right. When they're talking about small arms equipped personnel, you know, that could mean anything to crew with rifles or crew serve 50 caliber machine guns on the side of these boats. Either way, if they're using that, something got a little too close for comfort here. So thankfully, no boats were hit, but the Iranians threw everything they had at these boats yesterday. This was some of the most severe fighting. And supposedly this went on for several hours as the ships transited the strait for the second time in 3 days. And we got a little bit of clarity from Walter Bloomberg this morning about that ship that was seized by the Iranians. Talk about shooting yourself in the foot. Iran's Navy seized the Chinese-owned tanker Ocean Koi in the Sea of Oman, saying it was carrying Iranian oil and disrupting the country's exports. Iranian state media showed footage of the operation. The vessel and its Shanghai-based owner were sanctioned by the U.S. earlier this year over alleged Iranian oil shipments. So, hey, Iran is now enforcing the United States blockade of Iranian oil exports. Thanks, Iran. What the heck is going on here? The only thing I can think of, because they're saying they were disrupting the country's exports. This was the country's exports. This was Iran's own oil. My guess is the Chinese didn't want to pay the toll. And again, I'm speculating here, so don't hold my feet to the fire on that one. But why else would Iran seize a boat carrying their own freaking oil? A Chinese boat, mind you. The Chinese have been very friendly-ish with the Iranians this whole time. This doesn't make a lot of sense. The only way this makes sense is if the Chinese gave them the finger when they said, pay me $2 million to transit the strait. So yeah, that's going on this morning. Good thing there's still a ceasefire. Meanwhile, U.S. approves $17 billion in missile sales to Gulf nations as the Iran war drains stockpiles. The United States approved more than $17 billion worth of air defense missile sales to Gulf nations as the ongoing Iran conflict rapidly depletes American and allied stockpiles of critical interceptor weapons, according to the New York Times. The Trump administration has reportedly authorized the sale of thousands of Patriot interceptor missiles and related military services to Kuwait, the UAE, and Bahrain. Notice there, no Qatar, no Saudi Arabia. That's interesting. The approvals come at a time when both the U.S. military and Gulf allies have been using large numbers of air defense missiles to counter Iranian missiles and drone attacks across the region. According to the report, the State Department formally notified Congress about the sales last week, but did not publicly announce them alongside other emergency arms transfers to Middle Eastern allies. Years of missile production used up in months. The scale of missile consumption during the war has alarmed Pentagon officials. The report says the U.S. military alone has used more than 1,300 Patriot interceptors since the conflict with Iran intensified in late February. Gulf Arab countries have reportedly fired another 600 interceptors defending against Iranian missile and drone attacks. Together, that amounts to nearly 3 years worth of current production capacity. American defense manufacturers currently produce just over 600 Patriot interceptor missiles annually. Even with planned expansion efforts, rebuilding depleted inventories could take years. The newly approved sales reportedly include around 4,250 Patriot missiles for Kuwait, the UAE, and Bahrain combined. Qatar is also separately purchasing another 1,000 interceptor missiles under another recently approved package. Well, if you're going to expand your missile production capacity, there's the demand, there's the orders. So what are you waiting for? It might be chips and rare earths. That might be a problem too, but you know, the whole chicken or the egg thing about expanding missile capacity, the defense contractors need to know the orders are going to be there. There are the orders. Go build the factories. A lot of stuff going boom these days. All right. Meanwhile, let's talk about CoreWeave. Yes, their quarterly losings report came out yesterday after the bell. CoreWeave stock sank 10% on weak revenue guidance. It's bounced back a little bit from there since. An increased spending forecast. And there's Michael and Trader, the former carbon credit trader. CoreWeave shares tumbled as much as 10% in extended trading on Thursday after the AI infrastructure provider issued light revenue guidance and increased its 2026 capital spending forecast. More money in the fire. It posted a loss adjusted of $1.12 a share versus a loss of 90 cents expected. Revenue of $2.08 billion versus $1.97 billion expected. So a beat on revenue, but a wider than expected loss. Revenue more than doubled in the quarter from $981.8 million a year earlier, according to the statement. Net loss widened to $740 million from $315 million. By the way, in the opening monologue, I got that number wrong. The revenue was $1.97 billion. That $981 million number that I quoted in the beginning, that was last year's prior number, so I apologize for that detail, but still a $740 million loss on about $2 billion in revenue. That's pretty bad. They're nowhere near profitable, and they're getting worse here. $740 million net loss, that more than doubled from $315 million a year earlier. Let's see. They're targeting $2.45 billion to $2.6 billion in second quarter revenue. That was slightly disappointing. The market wanted $2.69 billion. What else we have down here? They're increasing their CapEx, blah, 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 burn more money. In the first quarter, CoreWeave said it raised $8.5 billion in new debt after announcing deals with AI startups Klein and Perplexity. It secured more than $20 billion in debt and equity this year, the company said, closing the quarter with almost $25 billion in debt. Meanwhile, major backer NVIDIA said earlier this year that it bought $2 billion in additional stock in CoreWeave, which committed to adopting a variety of the chipmaker's products. Round and round the money goes. This company, guys, look, the thing about NeoClouds, the very existence of NeoClouds, the only reason these companies exist is to keep NVIDIA's margins inflated, to keep their earnings inflated, which means these companies, their sole purpose is to lose money, all right? Without NVIDIA backing them, they don't exist. And NVIDIA backs them in order to keep their margins inflated. They are designed to lose money. CoreWeave shareholders have not figured that out yet. Iron, Nebius shareholders still haven't figured that out. But the stock is down 6.8% this morning after falling 6.6% yesterday. But still, it's at $120, triple its IPO valuation, because every time some schmuck in CNBC comes out with a headline about data centers in space, people buy CoreWeave stock for some reason, or we're going to build a nuclear reactor on the moon, buy CoreWeave stock. Okay, I'm going to build a time machine, buy CoreWeave stock. Why not? $120 for a company that keeps losing more and more money every quarter. We will look back on this episode and say, what the hell were we thinking? And another thing that's going to make us say, what the hell were we thinking? Iron. Iron stock surges 8% pre-market on NVIDIA boost. Retail is ecstatic, but analysts still feel it's overvalued. And of course it's overvalued. NVIDIA purchased warrants to invest up to $2.1 billion in its own customer, Iron, which is pivoting from a Bitcoin miner to a data center operator. Iron's third quarter revenue and profit were sharply below what analysts had expected. Stock Twitch sentiment for Iron moved higher in the extremely bullish zone. You should read some of the comments from these Iron bros on a post on Twitter yesterday that I made. Oh my, yeah, you think maybe extremely bullish? You're buying a flywheel, guys, and you have no idea. Iron shares rallied 8% in early trading on Friday after the company's third quarter earnings. The Bitcoin miner turned data center operator says NVIDIA purchased warrants to invest up to $2.1 billion in the company as part of a deal in which Iron purchased NVIDIA's AI servers and offered it cloud capacity for rent. All right. NVIDIA gives Iron money to buy warrants. Iron gives the money back to NVIDIA to buy chips. NVIDIA gives the money back to Iron to rent the chips that they just sold to Iron using NVIDIA's own money. So same money changing hands three times. The tie-up overshadowed a significant revenue shortfall and widening losses. Oh, another one, another NeoCloud that loses money, partly due to a decline in the Bitcoin price in recent months, which raised concern among traders. Iron stock ripping on this news, currently higher by 16%, $66.01 for the Bitcoin miner turn AI data center bro, because, well, their supplier is now also their customer and their investor. What's the worst thing that could happen? Meanwhile, U.S. said to suspect NVIDIA chips smuggled to Alibaba via Thailand. That thing that wasn't happening happened again. A key company behind Thailand's national AI effort is suspected of helping to smuggle billions of dollars worth of Supermicro servers containing advanced NVIDIA chips to China, with Alibaba one of multiple end customers, according to people familiar with the matter. U.S. prosecutors this year outlined a scheme in which Supermicro's co-founder allegedly worked with an unnamed Southeast Asian company and a rotating cast of third-party brokers to divert the AI semiconductors in violation of U.S. trade rules. The Southeast Asian firm the prosecutors didn't name, identified only as Company One, is Bangkok-based Oban Corp, or O-B-O-N. I'm going to call them Oban just because it's easier. Some of the $2.5 billion worth of servers sold to Oban allegedly went to Chinese AI leader Alibaba, according to the People, who requested anonymity to discuss a sensitive legal and geopolitical matter. Prosecutors laid out allegations detailing the overall operation in a March indictment that sent Supermicro shares into freefall, by far the most significant chip smuggling crackdown since Washington first restricted NVIDIA sales to China in 2022. A little-known company outside of tech circles, Oban is responsible for the creation of Siam AI, Thailand's sovereign cloud champion, according to a May 2024 press release. Oban said at the time that it would deploy NVIDIA servers in a small data center in Bangkok designed to empower Oban to launch Siam AI Cloud and revolutionize the country's AI roadmap. Siam AI had been incorporated as a separate company 4 months prior. So they created this company for the sole purpose of evading U.S. sanctions. Siam AI went on to win Thailand's first official NVIDIA Cloud Partner designation and hosted NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang at a splashy event focused on so-called sovereign AI. The most important part of artificial intelligence is the data, and the data of Thailand belongs to the Thai people, Huang said during a December 2024 fireside chat, probably in between signing boobs. And that fireside chat was with this guy named Ratanaphon Wongnapachant, Siam AI CEO. That name is a mouthful. Can we call him RW? We're going to call him RW. Pardon my non-regional diction. All right. So in 2024, Jensen has this fireside chat with Siam AI CEO RW. But who is RW? RW is the nephew of the Thai billionaire and former prime minister of Thailand. And he was also the CEO of Oban through at least May of 2024, according to the company's press release. Yeah, I'm sure Jensen Huang had no idea that these chips were actually heading to Alibaba in China in violation of U.S. sanctions as he was nobbing hobs with the CEO of the company that was doing it. I'm sure he's just as shocked as all of us, just like all the C-suite executives at Supermicro were shocked and chagrined that a few bad apples could spoil the whole bunch by trading GPUs in violation of U.S. export controls. GPUs that are probably going to be used to train drones to target our sailors in the South China Sea if war ever breaks out over Taiwan. But you know what? Hey, man, my stock pump. Got to get those numbers up. Meanwhile, SoftBank cuts target for OpenAI margin loan by 40% to $6 billion. Uh-oh. SoftBank having trouble raising more cash to keep that flywheel spinning. SoftBank has downsized plans for a $10 billion margin loan backed by its OpenAI stake after facing hesitation from some creditors, people familiar with the matter said. In separate discussions with potential lenders in recent weeks, the Japanese conglomerate and bankers helping it to seek the loan have mentioned targeting an amount as low as $6 billion, according to the People, who asked not to be identified. That's down from the original $10 billion. Discussions are ongoing, and details include the eventual size of any borrowing they could change. The shift comes after some investors who were pitched on the initial plan for $10 billion expressed concerns about the difficulty of reaching a valuation for an unlisted company like OpenAI, the People said. People are balking at the numbers. Too much money at too high a valuation for OpenAI. Masa-san is having trouble pumping more money into that flywheel. Uh-oh, that is not a good sign. Remember, without an endless supply of new investor cash, this bubble dies. All right. The only reason all these companies exist is because investors keep giving them money to rent compute or to buy NVIDIA chips. Without that endless influx of money, all these money-losing operations would shut down and go broke, and NVIDIA's earnings would fall off a freaking cliff. When does that happen? I don't know, but I'm betting it's soon. Meanwhile, we got Toyota's fourth quarter profit misses by a wide margin as U.S. tariffs drive 49% slump. More pain in the auto sector this morning. Japan's Toyota Motor on Friday reported a 49% drop in fourth quarter operating profit, missing analyst estimates as U.S. tariffs and intensifying competition from Chinese automakers pressured earnings. That is a big drop in profit. Toyota lowered their operating income forecast by over 20% to 3 trillion yen for the financial year ended March 2027, while raising its sales revenue forecast by 0.6%. We have recently seen a significant rise in our break-even volume due to a combination of increases in investments in human resources and future-oriented investments and the impact of U.S. tariffs. future-oriented investments. To me, that says EVs. And of course, the impact of U.S. tariffs, which is always up in the air because we have on-again, off-again trade deals, court decisions handed down left and right. So a lot of uncertainty. Not a good day for Toyota. Meanwhile, the EU to say airlines can use U.S. jet fuel amid Hormuz block. That's pretty much the story in a headline here. The European Union uses a different grade of jet fuel than the United States does. For whatever reason, our fuel is not allowed to be used over in Europe. And, well, Europe has gotten over that hesitation because they can't get enough jet fuel because the Strait of Hormuz is closed. So keep in mind, guys, we've watched Spirit Airlines go bankrupt. We've seen other budget airlines with their handouts. We've had plenty of headlines over the last month or so about how we only have a few weeks worth of jet fuel left. There was a story earlier this week that Israel is going to be sending some jet fuel to Germany. So the Europeans are jumping through hoops to try to stretch that out a little bit. But the clock is ticking on that jet fuel crisis, which is a symptom of the larger energy shock that's going on worldwide. It's just affecting jet fuel the most. And pay attention, college kids, education tool Canvas has been hacked and multiple U.S. college newspapers are reporting it. Education tool Canvas, used by schools, colleges, and universities for grades and other class material, was hacked, blocking students from accessing the application. Multiple college student newspapers reported on Thursday. The Harvard Crimson reported that students could not gain access to the site beginning on Thursday afternoon, with hacking group Shiny Hunters saying Harvard was among thousands of schools allegedly affected by the breach of infrastructure, Canvas's parent company. The breach of Instructure, which is Canvas's parent company. Duke University had also been affected by the hack that hit over 9,000 schools, its student newspaper, The Chronicle, said. Student newspapers from UCLA, the University of Nebraska, and others reported that their institutions had been affected. Shiny Hunters has a history of compromising global corporations. In April, the company said it had stolen nearly 80 million business records from video game developer Rockstar Games, the maker of Grand Theft Auto. So 9,000 schools are hacked and shut down right before finals. This is going to make a mess here. So pay attention to that one. And last but not least, we got the jobs report this morning. Non-farm payrolls in the U.S. were increased by 115,000 jobs in April of 2026, following an upwardly revised 185,000 increase in March and way above forecasts of 62,000. All right, so upward revisions. That's new. So we're now saying 185 after the 178 it was initially reported at. So you can add another 7,000 jobs to the non-farm payrolls report. Still, though, down rather sharply from last month, although a little bit higher than expected. Job gains occurred in healthcare, transportation, warehousing, and retail trade. Federal government employment continued to decline. While the figure points to a moderation in hiring, it also marks the first back-to-back monthly increase in employment in nearly a year, reinforcing signs that the U.S. labor market is gradually cooling while remaining broadly resilient. Something of a contradiction there. So better than expected jobs report, but not great. Some other things going on. The unemployment rate held steady at 4.3%, unchanged from last month, and it had fallen to 4.3% after hitting 4.4% in February. U6 unemployment rate, though, this is probably like the one gray lining to the silver cloud, if you will. The U6 unemployment rate rose to 8.2% from 8.0%. U6 is considered a better measure of unemployment because it includes people who can't find full-time work, so they're only working part-time. It counts people marginally attached to the labor force. I'm still not perfectly clear on what marginally attached to the labor force means, but it captures more people. There's a lot of categories that just don't count in the regular unemployment rate. So U6 is a better measure. That has been steadily climbing since hitting a low of 7.9% in February. And this big spike here, this was the government shutdown that created that. So you can basically cut that off. And of course, there's the big gap that we saw during the government shutdown in October. And last but not least, labor force participation rate declined as well, 61.8%, down from 61.9% in March. Fewer people trying to work. You can see participation rate has been falling steady since the end of 2024. And that 61.8, the last time we were that low, October of 2021. So look, the jobs report, the headline number was pretty good. Some upward revisions. Okay, that's good. Better than expected, still not great. and there are the participation in the U6 unemployment not so good. So I'd say this jobs report was kind of meh. It wasn't really great. It wasn't really terrible. It just kind of was. And I just want to say thank you, everybody, for having your coffee with the Melonheads this morning. Hey, it's Friday. That means 2 p.m. Eastern time today. It's our weekly Q&A session on Zoom with my Patreon and YouTube magnanimous Melonhead members. Links down below should you feel so inclined. Looking forward to seeing you guys at 2 p.m. Don't forget that like button and that subscribe button for the YouTube algorithm. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Love you guys. Everybody, till next time. Live small and dream big.